Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination.
If you want a view of the prize, simply look around in goodies. Listener questions, borrowed musings, talking movies, pictures, movies.
Play the theme tune.
The talking movies, pictures, movies.
Welcome to the Talking Movies Pictures Movies Show with
Hello.
Me. Huh?
Huh?
Welcome to the Talking Movies Pictures Movies Show with
yep.
me, Tim Goodings.
Andy Price.
That's him.
It's me.
All right. This is another episode of that podcast that you love. You love to hate.
No.
No.
No, that's not right.
That you love to.
No, just hate.
Love it.
So Tim, what we got coming up today, mate?
Oh, well, this is a podcast.
If you are.
We talk about movies, movie news, Marvel news, and we interview someone about a movie that they're doing.
Who we got this week, Tim?
Ben Thurston.
That sounds familiar.
If you scroll back all the way to the first episode.
How do you scroll?
Same name. You put your thumb on the touch screen.
You scroll with your thumb? Like an animal?
No, because animals don't have thumbs. I scroll it up all the way.
Yeah.
So it's nice and quick. And you go back all the way down.
My finger.
And it will say, actor Ben Thurston in The Bloomsbury Set. And that's the first episode before it was good. And he is here to talk about this movie. But first, I talk to Andy about things. He talks back at me.
I do
in response. We do a regular feature.
Okay, you can't tell me what to do.
Yep, and then we do the...
You're not my real mum.
Adopted.
That's not Marvel news.
And then we do music, interview with Ben, bit music, and we do listener questions where the listeners, which is you, not you, Andy, the person listening.
I was going to say, I thought I hosted it.
No, that's host questions.
Yeah,
which
who
we
are you
got,
talking
which,
to?
The
listeners.
Okay. That's the Goodings listeners, you mean?
Every new listener we get is shiny and new.
Is it
all
shiny?
New things are shiny. Listeners.
Yeah. And that's the end of it.
It's a tight structure, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Honed over 20-something episodes.
And then we'll start off with the first feature of all.
Marvel news.
Marvel news. Thank you. Marvel news this week. We have a little bit of news about films made by Marvel.
Wait, you say a little bit of news. We've never just had a little bit of Marvel news. There's always been massive.
Yeah,
loads of it.
Being modest, we've got loads.
Oh, thank you.
So we start off with a little thing that I had the other day.
Go on.
Oh.
Oh,
hang on. Sorry.
Did that's, put it on silent?
Oh, no, that's...
I've got mine on airplane mode.
Getting a phone call. Okay, 1 second. Sorry. Hold on. Hello? Yeah. Hello, Kevin. Mm-hmm. It's Kevin Feige.
Ah.
Yeah.
He always calls during the show.
I know. No. No, that was... Andy didn't mean that. It was... the show is... What is it? Say it's something else.
What, this show?
Yeah, well, not this show. It's not a show.
No, this is a tea party with Teddy Bear's Tea Party.
Big show.
Teddy Bear's Tea Party.
We're at a picnic. And, yeah, no, I don't do that.
If you come down to the woods today, no, you better come in disguise.
No, it's just that's me. Yeah, no, I wasn't. I've not told anyone, Kevin. No. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
He asked a lot of questions.
Bye. No, but... Bye. Okay. There's no Marvel news because that was Kevin Feige. Mm. And I would like to say just I normally get my Marvel news directly
from... For the listeners and the hosts that don't know who...
The listeners and the ghost.
Who this Kevin Feige is.
He's the head of Marvel Studios. He normally gives me my Marvel news. I get it straight from the source. I get it right from the main vein.
Stan Lee.
Kevin Feige.
Oh, sorry.
And he... It'll go in... through a text or phone call. And he didn't know. I thought that we did a podcast and we've been... Previous Marvel newses have been spilling some secrets that were not to be told.
Mm.
So with the exclusives we've been getting are not even meant to be public knowledge.
That's what an exclusive is, though.
But it's not meant to even be there at anything. So it's a breach of contract.
What contract?
The end...
Does he text you back?
The NDA I sign. When he tells me stuff every time.
Well, I didn't sign it. I can say it.
But he hasn't told you. Because he's my friend.
Maybe you told me and then I'll tell the listeners.
Yes, but I committed a crime by telling you. So there's I can't do Marvel News this week.
So what you're saying is you're going to do Marvel News, of course, because that's what the listeners expect.
Look, he's told me.
But next week I'll have to do the podcast on my own because you'll be in jail. That's what you're saying.
He's going to let me off lightly. He's just found out that we actually do a podcast, so I can't... This has got to stop. I can't.
You should have told him about the teddy bear's picnic.
I'll find another source for next episode, but I can't... This is... I mean, they might not be quite as sharp pieces of news.
Can you mime it to me?
The news?
Yeah.
Yes, but you can't say what it is because they would... Okay, so see, right, that.
Yeah.
That hand gesture there.
Yeah.
And then what's coming out of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it goes around the neck.
Ah. Yeah.
And then just this one. And then that drawing.
Yeah, I don't speak sign language. I have no idea what you just said.
No, it's a drawing. That drawing?
Yeah, but you held it up and I don't know what that means.
Look at it.
Oh, okay. Are you allowed to say that?
Cut it out.
Okay.
Look at it.
If it's in, if it stayed in, there's been an
error. But you understand the Marvel news now.
Yeah. Wasp man gets if they strangled want. By a spider
oh,
web.
On, no. Hey. Oh. Who's Wasp Man?
A Marvel. He's a Marvel.
I'm not supposed to know about Wasp Man yet, alright?
Oh, shit. Well, another
That's
scoop.
Marvel
I guess
news.
I'll be hosting it next week.
Next.
Oh, regular news, mm-hmm. regular shitty old movie news. Oh, I hate this section. It's boring. But do you know what did happen this week?
No, I don't. Why would I?
You haven't been checking Cinema Blend. Tim, as a film journalist,
critic.
The reports
yep.
on movies,
yep.
you need to check out Cinema Blend because Cinema Blend is where...
Wait, what is it?
Cinema Blend is where...
If you could describe it in an analogy...
You know the term newswire?
No.
So journalists, you know, in the field reporting on politics, on war, they get these newswires that come to them and then they often write articles based on that. So for movies, there's a version of... So in regular journalism, it's like Reuters, that kind of thing. But in
what?
Movies, it's Cinema Blend. That's where we all get our news from and you need to be reading it.
What's
and you'd know
Reuters?
About this and its Jumanji trailer has been released.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, let's watch it then.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh!
have chosen some music to play. Detention. Spencer. And there's some children in detention. Now, this is not traditionally what I would think of as Welcome to the Jungle music. It's not jungle music.
There's no riffs.
It's not Guns N' Roses.
It's sweet riffs.
I don't feel welcome.
I'm not sweating.
There's an old man who's
still quite cold.
Oh, she said that sucks. Little joke there, because that's like,
so it's
going
to be PG-13. Aim for those who seek to find a way to
leave their world behind. So they've updated Jumanji. It's now like a video game instead of a board game. And why might that be, Andy?
Because when the original came out in 1993, there were no such thing as video games. It was only board games. And
now, such thing
as board games. Video games.
No more.
Everywhere.
Yes, exactly. And you show a kid a board game now and they go, what's this, a placemat?
Yeah.
And you have to tell them as it is, and then they eat off it, and so it does get some use.
Yeah.
Dice, they just eat that. Because it's just sort of food on a placemat.
But this is a plate.
Hey man, I will. But if there's a... It's me, Spencer. If there's no plate there, and there's
you
food on the placemat,
use the placemat. I'll
just eat
that
it.
That is absolutely
I'll
fair.
Just eat the piece of the Ludo pieces. What am I supposed to do? Oh, and something is going on. So they're falling out of the sky.
And that kind of fall would kill a man.
And Jack Black is being a girl.
So this is the first joke of the movie. Okay. So it's one of the characters is this hot young thang.
Now, I can't imagine anything funnier than a woman trapped in a man's body.
Yeah, and what happens is this hot young thang.
And I mean, it's a great hot topic at the moment. I hope they
hot young topic.
I hope they play with the transgender undertones of this with decorum and respect, and don't just play it for laughs.
So,
because it's a serious issue.
First joke: hot young thang lands in the jungle. She stands up.
Hot young thang, middle-aged man.
Jack Black. The middlest of ages. Do you know what I like about that trailer, Tim? I'll tell you what I like about that, because some trailers,
Andy, give... Tell me what you like about that trailer.
Let me interrupt you. Hollywood movie trailers now just give away the whole fucking plot. It's ridiculous. You know what's going to happen. You don't have
stop
to say
it. Stop it.
And do you know what I love about this is that they didn't give away the Robin Williams cameo.
Yeah, I'm glad. And
because they could have done, because that would sell so many tickets. Do you know why?
Because
he doesn't do movies anymore. Oh. He doesn't do many.
Yeah, he really has retreated from that. He's shied away from that life. I wonder if...
do you?
What's your memory of the Jumanji, the first film?
I remember that Kirsten Dunst was in it.
Right. Redhead?
No, she was blonde in it at the time.
Ah, so not as tasteful.
It wasn't very tasteful.
Right.
I remember...
What's the point of it, though? They go into a board game... Do they become other people?
No.
Right. Okay. So we've got a sequel, sort of, or remake, and they've changed the whole premise. Board game?
No.
No, thank you. They don't exist. That. Video game?
No. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that. Yes. Get that.
That. Same people inside it? No.
No.
Not anymore.
Different.
Now we get big Hollywood people. Who one's like real big, but he actually in real life is like an Indian kid.
Robin Williams in a main role? No.
No.
Cameo.
Just really dial it back.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to be the main focus anymore. He's still shying away from the limelight.
Spend time with his family.
Sexy girl.
Oh, wait.
Still a sexy girl.
Still no. Kirsten Dunst. No.
No. Now she's a man.
Yeah. She's a middle-aged man.
Man. First one, no gay shit. This one, so much gay shit, Andy.
There's a lot of gay shit.
Gay shit, trans shit, because that's also funny as a concept. Imagine that, how hilarious. And Kevin Hart, he's like, oh, I'm smaller now. But he was really big. He was a big black guy. And now he's like, they didn't want to change his race, because that's insensitive, even though they did it with the Indian. But now he goes smaller. I wonder if they should have made jokes about the race still, but...
Well, if you're going to go as far as making jokes about someone being short, I feel like you should go as far as making jokes about someone's race.
It's the same.
Because otherwise it's discrimination.
Discrimination against race. It's racist. Because you're saying you can't make jokes about it because that's a different race.
So this is what we do, Tim. We take a source of reportage from Cinema Blend, and we find the angle and we find the interesting point. And the point is, Jumanji 2 is racist. Next.
Welcome to the jungle.
Right, okay, right. We'll be back after the break for some listener questions after big old Benny Thirstballs in the, the guest segment.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. So now, some music, and then listen to Ben Thurston talk about his new movie. Wouldn't that be nice? Thank you, and don't touch
that board game.
Board games.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Are we actually doing it? No, this is now.
Yep, we are here with our guest this week, Ben Thurston, returning to the podcast, returning guest.
First returning guest you've had?
Yes.
Yeah.
Says
yeah.
a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we've ran out.
About who else would prepare to well, there's come a, back.
The problem is about the UK film industry is that there's only 20 actors
yeah.
in circulation at any one That's time.
Mm-hmm. And you haven't had Jason Statham, have you?
Exactly, but he is quite
is
hard
he
to get.
Still considered to be in circulation?
Is he still considered to be British, even still?
Really?
I mean, was in an American film recently.
I saw it. We've lost him now. I think that's he's Good. Gone he's native. Gone.
Good.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
More roles
native
for
American.
Benny Thurston over here.
Yeah, exactly.
Is another addition to your crisis going to be that you start saying that your name is Benny rather than just Ben because it sounds
thinking
younger?
About it, I don't know if it sounds younger, but it definitely sounds different. And sometimes that's all you want, isn't it?
Yeah.
We certainly want that from you, I think. Yeah.
Different.
Because then it'll be like a different guest as well, yeah. which would be nice.
I hear it a lot from people.
What if we title this episode as Benny Thurston?
Benny Thurston.
So people think it's a different person.
His brother, for example. We've discussed what's changed since your first... appearance on the podcast.
It's an awful lot changed.
Awful lot. Oh, is it?
Haircut.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, of course. Yeah. A haircut. Oh, I thought you meant it in terms of his career.
Tattoo
is being considered, under consideration.
Mm. Yeah. Motorbike still.
Motorbike's actually, it's a long...
Got a sidecar now, or?
No, it's a long story. It's off the road at the moment because...
Oh, it's gone off road. Nice.
Well, wheels, what's happened bike. Is I can't... There's financial issues.
It's been repossessed.
No, I've still got it. I just can't afford to pay insurance.
And is that why you decided to make another film?
Financial necessity.
That makes sense.
Why else does anyone produce any art?
I mean, it is art.
You've heard our ads. Yeah, you should see that.
Ooh, buns.
Are you raking it in?
Every day.
Because we haven't discussed fees at all.
No, we haven't, because then we don't have to pay out anything. So.
That's why we're so...
Cross it only.
So what you should do, you should get in on the podcast game. Give movies the boot.
Remind me how the podcast game works, because as far as I can see, what happens is you spend a lot of time... recording this when you could, Tim, you could have a paper round or something on a Sunday. And
I mean, why do you assume I don't have a paper round?
They
make assumptions about me.
Have you got a paper round?
Look, if I was to say on the podcast I had a paper round, that might undermine my professionalism as a podcaster. So let's say that I'll let you think I have a paper round.
Okay.
And you're being hypocritical because you're saying we spend a lot of time recording this, but each episode of this is shorter than a movie. You make movies, who's the mug?
Well, no, I mean, the people who go and see the film are the mugs.
Well, that's true.
That's how that racket works.
You know the purpose of this is for you to promote your movie and get people to see it.
You'll edit a lot of this out, I imagine.
Yeah, well, probably the next 30 minutes or so, yeah.
Yeah, good. Good.
From here.
Yeah, because we've already
Cut to the chase. Thanks for being on, guys.
You're welcome. You're back on to talk about your movie.
Yep.
Which number of movie is it? Because I think that's what we want to know.
How many movies are there
in your canon
that you've done?
This is number 14.
Number 14.
Okay, interesting.
How many have you seen, Tim?
Of Ben's,
yeah.
Saw Bloomsbury Set. Yeah.
Is that number 13? Lucky number 13.
Bloomsbury Set is 12 and 13 because Bloomsbury Set is 12.
Mm.
The American edit I consider because the nuance of it was so different. You remember, like, Bloomsbury Set was about. Yeah, well done, guys. Bloomsbury Set was about the explosion in the hill with all the badgers and all the rest of it.
Yeah, they
and
can listen.
The Americans, they re-edited that and retitled it Set on Fire, which actually was a better title. I don't know. But that's because they don't know about the Bloomsbury Set in America.
Mm. Oh, right, okay.
Because nowhere in America has, you know, poems. Read a book. Yeah. Apparently. I mean, that's not my words. That's the words of someone else.
Some English academics that they wouldn't have heard of.
Yeah, racist... xenophobic English bitter old twisted educationalist
Ben Thurston.
What?
So this is movie number 14. So you consider that the American and English release of Bloomsbury Set to be two separate films?
They're entirely different. I think the main difference really of the American edit was the modifications to my role really, and the difference in the amount of screen time.
Okay, it seems that you're edging towards suggesting that you were edited out of the American release. I've seen it, so I'll let you say, but I have seen it, so you can't get this past me.
The way I prefer to look at it is that in the English release, I was edited in. So, you know.
Yeah.
That's, I don't think it's a negative thing. I think that it's very positive that the film, even in the negatives,
I think you're not in any of them, but yeah.
Well, you know.
So do you foresee this film being your 14th and 15th film then? Or do you think they just won't bother this time to do an American version?
I don't know if they won't bother. I mean, it did very good
business.
It's a
small audience, isn't it? So it's not really...
It is certainly interesting that you consider the Set on Fire to be your 14th film, even though you're not in it.
I think to say I'm not in it is an oversimplification of what's gone on. I think that sometimes... when you observe planets, for instance, through a telescope, you have to infer sometimes, you infer their presence from...
The gravitational effect or the dot. Well, that's how Neptune was discovered, of the gravitational effect.
Exactly
effects.
That. And so sometimes you can't see the thing... that is actually key to the whole process. And I like to think
see the wind.
Set on Fire, you know, can't see the wind, which, yeah.
And what? So in a way, you are the wind of Set on Fire.
Yeah.
Pluto's not a planet anymore.
No.
Yeah.
It's been shrinking for a long time, though, I think.
Mm.
So.
Oh, that's and why also, it's getting smaller, so it just passed the threshold.
That's my understanding.
Yeah.
So in many ways, this new movie, people have been saying that you've got the gang back together.
I don't remember being a gang in Bloomsbury Set. I didn't think there was anyone...
Well,
was that a metaphor?
I'm saying they didn't have the gang together in the last one. So they're getting them back together
from
after
a previous...
not having the gang.
And when were they together before?
Elaborate.
Well, yeah. I mean, the
Which
guys
Which was
who
the gang movie?
The gang movie?
Mm.
I don't remember you from Gangs of New York.
It's not Gangs of New York, though, is it? It's Gangs of New Orleans. You've not seen this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting the impression you haven't seen it, and I'm just like, I'm...
What was that, your 9th and 10th, or...?
It was just, that was the second movie I ever made, Gangs of New Orleans.
Standalone, second, third, or standalone?
I played a man who walks along playing a trumpet, and that was, you know, well, it wasn't in it a great deal, but the people who worked on that film, we've Formed always kept in touch.
Oh.
Well, a loose, you know, gangs are a loaded word, isn't it? I mean, I think we...
That's a gun.
Gun is a loaded word.
Is it a gun gang or a knife gang?
It's not. It's a film. A people who make films.
Crips
gang.
Or Bloods.
Yeah, I mean the thing is,
Warriors.
I don't want
that's a movie.
I don't want to sort of bring this back down to earth. But if any of you had any real experience of gangs, I don't think you'd be
Earth's a planet
doing this. This huh? is a serious gangs is a and serious
he's drinking,
problem.
Hold on. So that was second movie, Gangs in New Orleans. That was your second movie.
Yeah.
How did you get that part? Was it from your performance in your first ever movie and they saw that, or was this another like did you have to audition for it is what I'm asking really?
I did have to audition for it. Yeah.
What piece did I use?
I did the monologue from Bernard Shaw's Man and Superman. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Aware of Superman. I don't know about the other bit, but yeah.
Right.
So if Superman's a
what is it like
superhero?
Kal-El, you are my son, like Marlon Brando. That sort of stuff. He's a good actor, isn't he? Yeah.
He was.
Well, he got shit, I agree. Yeah, he got really shit towards the end. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had to read his lines off bits of paper.
You did or he did?
Well, I...
What else would he read them off?
Cue cards?
Cucumbers? Auto cue.
Cue cards.
What was the piece? Man and Superman?
Man and Superman.
Batman and Superman?
No.
Batman vs. Superman? You read the monologue from that?
No.
Okay.
I mean, these are American films.
I'm sorry, we
know we haven't lost him to America yet.
Yeah, there's no. Yeah, you wouldn't be doing that sort of shit.
If you'd done that, we'd have Jason Statham here right now.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a haircut, so. Well, it's all haircut, really,
isn't
it?
It's all cut off. Complete haircut, yeah.
Yeah. All cut, no hair.
Male pattern baldness, nature's haircut.
Yeah. I think my understanding is he's quite sensitive about that. So if you do get him on,
bless him.
I wouldn't.
Does he know?
I think he knows. Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
I think it's staring him in the forehead. I think he's
how he knows people staring him in the
forehead.
Yeah,
yeah. I think he likes to look at it as he describes his forehead as having pursued an aggressive foreign policy on his head.
Yeah,
a land grab.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Of course, Statham was in many of your early films. I think the 4th, the 6th, maybe the 8th.
All the evens.
The 8th and 9th. And
that was part of the franchise that you did with him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Lads.
Mm-hmm. Lads 2, Lads Again, and Lads Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you ever thinking of taking it on tour or?
Lads on tour?
Mm.
Interesting you should say that, because there were conversations about taking Lads on tour, but nobody could really see how that would, I mean, how would you move Lads around?
You know?
There's no precedent for it.
Which, you know, that's not a bad thing, is it? I mean, originality is something.
Well, Hollywood loves originality, as we talk about quite often.
Yeah, it's no sequels. If you look Hollywood, no sequels. It's all original stuff.
Is that exactly. True?
Yeah, no is sequels.
That? Yeah, I mean, no Lads, sequels, 1, 2, 3, etc. is an anonymous.
It's anonymous.
Yes.
It's who wrote it.
That's the word I'm looking for.
You didn't even know who wrote it.
Yeah, it certainly was different.
Yeah.
I mean, as a concept, I mean, Lads 2, Lads 3 and Lads Back were the same, obviously. Lads Again, they were the same pretty much.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
one of the little tricks, I think, a little sort of insider thing that I think often a moviegoer doesn't notice, that sometimes you do another version of a film and you say, oh, it's a different film. And if you look closely, that's the same film.
Even the same people in
it. I don't know if people know Jaws 2 and Jaws 3.
Both got sharks in.
They're the same film.
Right, actually.
Actually, the same. Some of the soundtrack has changed, but otherwise it's the same film.
This is something I want to ask you about, because I was a bit confused. Is Lads 3 and Lads, Lads, Lads the same film, or are they separate
yes,
films?
Yes, that's what I wanted to ask, because I wondered if the 3 was the superscript, and was it like Lads cubed, or is it, which would be Lads, Lads, Lads?
What I like to think is Lads, Lads, Lads is a reimagining of Lads 3. It's very, very similar.
Is this another Bloomsbury set on fire situation?
It's not quite that. I would say it's more of a remix. Yeah, a remix where, you know, some of the elements are turned up a little bit, some of the elements are turned down a little bit.
And a dubstep drum beat and
And this is your 14th film.
Lads no. That's
we're talking about something else.
That's Lads 3. Lads 3. The remix, the Imagining. That's not now.
And
that's...
what? So, what were your thoughts about the obviously last year? And we know you weren't involved. And I wonder what your thoughts on this are now when they went back to do the prequel, The Origin Lad.
I really can't talk about that
because I know Statham had a cameo in it.
Yeah,
I mean, in a sort of Starsky and Hutch way.
I can't be drawn on that because. The court case is ongoing. I'm not. I mean, all I will say is that it's bullshit. And that there was, you know, the reasons I was given for not being involved in that project are flimsy and exaggerated.
Well, I mean, they went back to younger actors to go back to the beginning.
Statham's still in it.
My understanding was it was a cameo.
Statham's older than I am.
Oh, so it wasn't more than a cameo. He's playing the same character.
He's still getting a paycheck. That's all if I'm absolutely honest, you know, as with everybody in the film industry, that's what I care about. If Statham's getting a paycheck for revisiting the work on Lads, I should be getting a paycheck. Okay, and that is in essence the information I've given my solicitor. And I'm waiting to hear what he's not a Hollywood solicitor, he generally does conveyancing work, but he's a friend of my brother's, and I'm assured that he's on this. And and he said not to talk about it to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he said publicly or privately. He doesn't want to talk about it with me. He won't take my phone calls.
Okay. We'll edit this hour, it's fine. If this is still in the podcast and it's been an hour, but it's fine, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you say anything here then.
Yeah. Yeah.
So could,
yeah. I mean, in many ways, there aren't really many edits to make in this episode, I think. So we might forget to do it at all.
Yeah, but if
we'll
we
try
it
and remember.
Yeah, we sort of see this as a sort of a personal diary for our guests.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's very rare that we edit something.
When you do edit things out there, you keep them, don't you? Because there's always the possibility of making a kind of Beatles style anthology of the things I've said.
All the other versions of, yeah.
The alternate
takes for all the jokes.
Yeah.
Because obviously, I mean, listeners don't know this, but generally we tend to do 5 or 6 alternates or alts, as they say in the industry, for all the punchlines that you hear. Alts, yeah.
In the podcast industry.
Well, yeah. I mean, I say it and I'm in it, so.
Yeah, in a loose sense, yes.
Okay. And now, just as a little insider tip, so in the final edit, I think the strongest one that Ben said there was in a loose sense of a snarky comment, but he did actually say sort of 4 other snarky comments to allow us to choose there. So
there's been a lot of snark.
So there will be some editing, I guess. Otherwise, it would just be a mess.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, loads in the past minute that just, I think, all got cut.
Yeah, it was sort of non-sequiturs mostly, wasn't it?
It's nonsense,
quite
mostly.
Racist.
Yeah.
Well, depends where you're from.
Form, but... Ah, if you're not from that place and you can't be offended.
Exactly.
No, that is true. That is true.
That's how it works.
Bunga Land, or wherever it was, yeah.
We'll probably get rid of that, I imagine.
If that has been kept in, there's been an error.
You don't want to speak about Lads anymore?
Oh, well, I'm simply saying I can't.
You should.
You know,
yeah,
I shouldn't. I really shouldn't.
All right, well, let's get on to the movie you're here today to promote. I assume you're happy with it. There's no, you know, I don't want to... And enter into another sort of issue. Obviously, we've got the whole litigation with Lads and everything.
Yeah. No, I'm... Let's just put that behind us. The new film is probably the piece of work I've done that I am proudest of.
Right. It's lucky that is the movie that you did to get to start earning money again at the same time as well, isn't it?
Well, you know,
lucky
fingers
you
crossed.
Fell into that.
Yeah.
All right, so it's a brand new intellectual property, not related to any previous bit of work.
It is an entirely original idea.
Okay, and not working with Statham again, I assume.
Never working with Statham again. I mean... Unless they ask me to, then
unless
no.
they ask you to be in one of his films,
yeah,
right, sure, yeah. No, that makes sense. I that's a good decision.
Another Transporter movie, or
yeah,
yeah,
that's the one about the lorry, isn't it?
No, that's Transformers. Do you want to take over for a bit, Andy?
Sure.
For steam.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
And then, you do run on steam, don't you, Tim? So. Hot air. Anyway.
It's more impressive than walking on water, I think.
Yeah, running on steam.
Well, how involved are you in the writing process? Do you just sort of let the writer get on with it? Do you do any sort of
interestingly,
improvisation on set?
This film was based on an idea I had.
Okay. So you get kind of created credit and that story by you?
100%. And what I did was then hire in a creative team and tell them the idea.
A film crew?
Well, I'm talking really about a writing group, a loose collective.
A writer's room.
Okay.
Yeah, a writer's
room. A sort of Bloomsbury set.
If you will, mm. yes. And so I took them on as my employees, which was interesting to me. I mean, getting involved in issues that I'd never previously dealt with, like national
tax,
insurance.
Yeah,
yeah, it was a whole...
Child labour laws.
That's yeah, all of these things come into play when
very
you're an employee. And you start to realise if you pay people a salary... it's very interesting what you can get out of them, that they'll also, if you ask them to, they'll wash the car.
Okay.
That can happen. So that's been a real eye-opener for me, that I can have a creative team, but also get a lot of chores
that's
dealt
interesting
with.
That people,
then you needed to buy a car as well. Obviously.
You had to buy a car, yeah. because once you've got someone to wash a car, it is a false economy not to have a car.
Yeah.
So
because I've been washing Andy's car for free.
Yeah.
And I think that...
No, he was talking about this a lot.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, I mean, you're welcome, but I just wonder if, I mean, Ben's setting quite an example for me.
So you're saying you want to be paid for washing my car?
Something.
Well, I guess I'll get rid of the car then. It's uneconomical to have it if I'm paying you to wash it. False economy.
Well, you know, I could probably get one of my guys to wash a car for you, mate.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Yeah.
That'd be lovely.
That's no trouble.
What am I going to do?
There's always work for you, mate.
Well, you could wash
Ben's car.
You could be a new car.
I'll wash Ben's and you get your...
Then
paid guy to wash.
No. If you wash Ben's car, mm-hmm. you'll become Ben's employee, and then Ben can get you to wash my car.
Well, can
yes, you pay me to wash Andy's car.
Yeah, that's
it. Have you got any references,
Andy?
What?
Well, you can be my reference, can't you? I've washed your car. Is it good? Bear in mind, this is to get me to wash your car again.
I have to
again.
Be very careful because, like, obviously, I have to deal with the bureaucracy running this podcast as well. So I've got to be careful what I say. I will confirm that he has. Be near my car with a bucket of water.
I can say what I don't have any. Mm-hmm. I won't use him as a reference then, because if you have a bad reference and you just don't use it, do you?
But I will. I don't want to put myself in the legal. I don't want to put myself in the legal position.
It's not a reference now.
To say that he did a good job.
Boots. I walked to Boots, and it was.
It wasn't just water in the bucket. He dropped some gravel in
and washed your car with gravel
and water.
No, I was washing the gravel. Right. I was washing your driveway. I was washing the gravel on your driveway first, because what's the dirtiest part of a car? It's tyres. How do the tyres get dirty?
It's not. It's
gravel.
It's the driver's seat.
Yeah. It's the inside. A lot.
Your car, maybe. But I'm just talking about in general. I mean, I got the upholstery kind of...
Dirtiest part of my car is probably
clean as
the
I could.
Boot.
Because of all the dead badges.
I worked at Boots.
That can happen. That's
different
that's,
sort of boot, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Why it works, yeah.
It's barely relevant as experience, you know.
Just reminded me. That's a good reference, though.
So that's how the film came about.
Okay, so if you run through
how big was the team, the writers' room?
8 people.
Tell us a bit about the ideas that they came up with then.
Well, I mean, I had the ideas. Let's be absolutely, because that's crucial, I think,
legally.
To how the money's mm-hmm. going to be. Yeah.
Okay,
I
well, let's start with the idea. Tell us
they're
a little bit about the film.
Note down your ideas.
Yeah. I initially had the idea of a man who had a child and that it changed his life.
Already in new territory, I think. Already
changed his life. He realised that he loved that child more than he'd ever loved anything before.
Any other child?
Or indeed any other thing.
Any other object?
Anything. Animal, mineral, vegetable, anything.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's so good.
Who loves vegetables?
Well, yeah. Vegetarians.
So it's about a guy, he has a kid, and it changes his life, or it just changes his thought process on
love?
Well,
this was the basis that I gave to the writing room, you know, I said there's
that's
a guy,
as far as
well, that's
he's
enough,
got
isn't
a
it?
Child,
I think you can agree, Andy.
He loves the child, can you write a film about that? And they've taken that and run with that.
And what did they
where
end
did
up
they
with? How much of the original idea was still in the script? Well, again, we haven't seen this yet.
The
so
man's still in it, the man's in it,
man's
very
in
much,
it?
There's no child, but the man...
But what does he have that he loves?
Oh, he's got a he's got a business.
Okay, so he has a business. He births a business, you might say. He creates it himself.
No, he has that. I mean, that's incidental, really.
Okay,
he's got a business. He likes to climb mountains. He likes to ride bikes.
Right. Okay.
He likes to eat salad.
So he has a love of life, you might say.
Yeah, yeah. He's got things in his life
or the
that
inner child.
Are what he does, you know.
What's the business?
He's not inner child, no. He's
no,
not.
He's never in a child.
That's not. We deliberately steered away from that. As much as was possible.
Was there issues in the writing where you had to sort of curtail some of the conversations?
You know, I said, it's great to blue sky this, just don't be ridiculous.
Just put on a whiteboard in the room, never in a child.
Don't underline be ridiculous. That. Don't be ridiculous underneath. Underline, yeah. Yeah.
And how would you discipline these writing employees of
oh, I'd just sack them.
Oh.
What I would always like to do is you sack one and you do it publicly and you do it humiliatingly and all the others sit up and take notice.
There was a director, isn't there, a famous director. It'd be good if I knew who it was because it was a movie podcast, who would hire a sort of a lowly crew member just so they could fire someone on the first day of filming.
Oh, I know this.
Yes.
Did you do that technique? Did you just decide to fire someone or
I,
on the last day maybe?
What I did, I fired someone on the first day very much in that style. Unfortunately, it turned out that I'd fired the wrong guy. He was actually the best writer and he sued me he's done very nicely out of being fired by me. Not worked out quite so well for me. The writer?
Mm.
Have you heard of many writers?
Well, we'll see. Maybe I mean, it's irrelevant whether we've heard of many writers. Well, it's one writer we're talking about.
His name's Ian.
Okay. Ian Banks. What sort of Ian are we talking about?
Ian Janssen.
You don't know his last name, do you?
It's on a lot of paperwork that I've been sent by his solicitors.
This is the problem, because obviously I have to remember my employees' names just like you, but that's kind of what makes a good boss. You need to know, like, obviously Tim Gooding over
respect,
here
isn't it?
Is my employee, and we got that right. Tim James Gooding. TJ Gooding.
TJ
Gooding, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. That's
just the one Gooding.
It's like Cuba Gooding, but white.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And not a
different name.
Not a junior.
And I'm called Tim.
You're quite old.
And I've not been in films. Different parents as well. I've never lived in America.
You ever been to Cuba?
No, but then he's never been to Tim, so I don't know if that's relevant or...
Is anyone?
No. Well, not recently.
You can visit Tim, but you can never stay. That's what they say, isn't it?
You can check out, but you never leave. Can we
just listen to that for a bit?
You will.
You can take the person out of Tim, but you can't take the Tim out of the person.
Oh, when he's finished. So talk us through the plot. What's the business that this man starts?
Dry cleaning.
Dry cleaning.
Yep. But that's relevant, incidental, because is that relevant?
Or
is
it's a metaphor, I think.
For
his life, for the fact that he's making things better, but he's not making them wet.
So there's a hosepipe ban.
Well, that can be part of it. There can be a hosepipe ban.
What's wet about life that would be bad? What's blood? Wet in life? Blood.
See, I feel...
So there's no bloodshed.
No.
But he's doing it the right way.
Exactly.
By the book.
Exactly that. By the instructions.
I'm worried that some of these plot points are direct reactions by your writing staff to the way that you treat them. So you're making them wash your cars and all of a sudden they're like, let's put something in the film about stuff being dry.
Yeah, you're giving them insurmountable story obstacles and suddenly the character's climbing a mountain.
Right. Well, I don't think that's it. Okay. Let me tell you a bit more about it. I think you'll see.
Go ahead, yeah.
So the guy, he's got his own business and he's got his employees at the dry cleaning company and they hate him. It's a very funny scene where they sit around and they talk about...
Slag him off.
Talk about, they talk about the idiot moves he's made, how he's running that business into the ground. Yep. They talk about how he is having a midlife crisis. They talk about the fact that he doesn't seem to have noticed his beard's gone grey.
Yeah.
He doesn't...
And his hair, some of it.
Yeah, quite a lot of his hair.
Yeah.
They talk about how, you know, he seems to wear those shoes he wears a lot because he thinks they make him look taller and imagines nobody's noticed.
Right.
So it's a whole load of stuff. So I don't think your point... You know,
it's a deep, rich character that they've painted.
It's a brand new world,
exactly. And he's very much the hero of the story. You know.
Okay, so what are his main? What's the main objective of the character? What's his motivation? What does he have to go through in the course of the story?
He is trying to inherit some money from his father.
Right, he's trying to inherit it.
Yeah.
So he's trying to kill his father.
He's not trying to kill him. He's trying to make his father put him in his will. He was in the father's will because I think, as with most people, you start in your father's will and then over time things happen, words get said, and then you're not in your father's will. I think that's a common story that we've all probably experienced
just a
once
very
or
quick
twice.
Question, unrelated, but are you in your father's will?
Well, right now?
No, when you first, had the idea for the movie and were pitching things with the writers?
It's hard to remember, isn't it? Hard to look back and think. I think... No, probably not at that stage.
But now,
I don't really see the relevance. It's subject to an ongoing.
The insight you get into, I mean, if you were to be credited as a writer, the story process, and how it influences from your personal life, you know, write what you know.
Yeah. I probably am at this point not in my father's will.
So he's trying to get himself into his father's will.
Yep.
How does that relate to, is it his father's dry cleaning business or was it a family owned thing?
No, it wasn't a family owned. That's very important. I think he is a self-made man. All he's ever had is a startup gift to buy the premises and all the equipment and 20 or 30,000 to run the first year. So, he's really built this up from nothing. Okay. It's the
rags to riches sort of story.
Well, you know.
If a dry cleaning business can be considered riches.
Yeah.
And if 20 to 30,000 pounds can be considered rags, but it's relative, isn't it?
Exactly. I think, you know.
Rags to clean the rags because he is dry cleaning them, you might say.
But you're not going to dry clean your rags.
No, there's no point. They're rags. I mean,
I think that is part of the man's, the part of our hero's advertising is to try and get people to dry clean more of their
rags.
So you
more fabrics, more revenue, more, you know, more custom.
As we say, mo fabrics, mo money.
Yeah.
See, you keep referring to your character as the hero of this piece.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you maybe outline some instances where he acts particularly heroically? Because at the moment, I've got a man who operates dry cleaners.
And that was your original idea, though.
He's not in his father's will. Where's the heroics? Where's the jeopardy that causes him to take action?
Oh, there's a lot of jeopardy. I mean, there's a bit where a man comes in the shop and asks him to dry clean a piece of fur for him. The man's also got a dog with him. And there's very funny.
It sounds good.
Confusing thing where he
dog
nearly...
Dog eats the coat?
Dog wears the coat, and then
it thinks it's a cat.
No, it's better. What he does is he goes to wash the fur, accidentally washes the dog.
Dog shrinks in the wash.
Dog dies in the wash.
Oh shit! So, that's worse.
Yeah, and then worse. And then
what color?
They
mix him in with some pinks.
No, it just died. It just died. And the hero, this is the heroic, what he does is rather than tell the man that his dog's dead, he goes out and buys the second dog. And then...
At what point does the person realise that they're walking a fur coat home?
He buys it.
Well, do we never see that scene?
He buys another dog. He replaces the dog.
And skins it.
Heroically. Oh. And the fur is fine, just not clean. And so he doesn't
even
charge
need to clean
the man.
It turns out.
And that's really the end of that scene. That's in act one. So you can see how it's...
So that's the sort of like the general like the japes that he gets up to at the dry cleaners. This is sort of like, what a day kind of thing.
I mean, it's not exactly a comedy. I wouldn't want to run away with the idea this is a knockabout farce.
I don't think anyone thought that.
No, because it's a very serious story.
Mm. I mean, that doesn't seem so much as a heroic act, more of a terrible accident that he dealt with badly.
He bought a new dog. I mean, that's not the worst way of going around thinking about it.
It's ingenious, I'll grant you. But, yeah. I mean, any other
I think issues? The cowardly thing would have been to own up to what happened, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, because then the guy will go home without a dog.
And as far as he's concerned, there's a dead dog, and that's pretty cowardly.
It's a white lie.
It's a white dog.
Ah. the one that he replaced?
Yeah.
And the original one wasn't white.
Well, no, that's why he cleaned it.
Oh, so the guy who took this dog home.
He's got a clean
dog.
It's just been cleaned and it was fine. Not that it was killed. So it changed his colour and he was like, oh, that's just because it's been cleaned.
You're sort of spelling out to people listening to this. They'd already understood that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We haven't seen it.
So are there any other dog-related accidents later on in the film? Does he cause the death of any other animals?
No, there's a bit where there's some dog poo he has to wash. There's nothing. No, not really.
He's given some dog poo to dry clean.
Like a single
turd. It's on a velvet slipper. And he just needs to.
And he has to find a person that it fits, or?
That scene is just he just washes that off in a sink, a dry sink.
Oh, sure. Can you explain how a dry sink works?
Chemicals, mate.
So who directed this?
Who do you think directed it? Tarantino directed
it. Yeah.
Is this your first time working with Tarantino? Have you been in any of his previous films?
I was in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, no, wait, which
I worked in the restaurant. I was Richie Valance in the restaurant.
I see what you mean, sorry. You were one of the waiters dressed as.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can see, you can't see much of me, but there's a scene where I drop a tray, but they
not scripted?
No.
Improvised?
Improvised. Oh. Not, well, you know, instinctive.
Yeah.
I think is how you would describe it.
Oh, I think my character would drop a tray now because I'm about to anyway.
Do you know, I dropped that tray before I even thought of the idea.
So that was a very small part. But there was, and it was 20 odd years ago.
Yeah.
But what do you think?
Did he remember it?
He pretended, he's a funny guy, he pretended not to.
So what do you think it was about your performance in Pulp Fiction that made him look you up again?
Well, I looked him up.
Because you remembered him.
I remembered him.
That's
Did
good.
You? What was it about him that made you remember?
Not too big for you, babes. You remember the people?
I think that what made me remember... We had a good time on that film, and it was fun, and it was creative, and it was sparky, and I thought this lad's going to go somewhere. So when I had the opportunity...
I think it's a good film.
I've never
Pulp Fiction.
Seen it.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah.
I actually like it.
I don't know. It's just one of those films that crops up every now and then, but you're just like, I don't know.
It's quite long. It's quite long.
It's not, the stories don't go the same together.
I remember there were conversations on set about that. Do you mean on stage or off stage?
Both.
Are you obviously involved? What happened with that? Did they just get the scenes in the wrong order in the edit?
He didn't get them in the wrong order. What happened?
Well, I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong, frankly. I think he did.
What happened, and I was there.
I'm a fan.
He had it all in the right order, and someone said to him, Quentin, that's what they called him. Quentin, I think that's great. And he said, do you? Well, I think it's motherfucking bullshit. And
did he say the N-word?
He did say the N-word, which I'm not going to say. And he switched it all around, and everyone went, well, Quentin, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. And he said, if anything, I'm cutting off my ear to spite my face, because that was a callback to his Reservoir Dogs.
Of course, very good.
And he mimed cutting off an ear and then talking into it and said, I will edit my film however I want to edit my film.
Cutting the middle to the start of the film.
Exactly.
Something that strikes me as interesting is that Tarantino is very much a kind of one-man band. And I find it interesting that
That's a common misconception. That's not a true story. That Quentin Tarantino never did work as a one-man band. He bust for a while.
That is in his IMDb trivia.
Yeah, I know. He bust for a while. What he did, he had a guitar and he had one of those things where you can have a mouth organ.
Harmonica, right?
But the
bass drum on the back?
No, that is an exaggeration.
Did he sing as well?
He did sing.
Well, that's three.
He had a somebody else used to come with him. Tim Roth used to come with him and play the drum.
Two man band.
It was a two man band, which you know, two man band is essentially you're only one man away from really just being a band.
So what you're saying is, in this situation, you are.
And that's obviously where the name of his production company comes from. One man band apart.
Yeah, one man band apart of brothers.
Yeah, talking about IMDb trivia and you know the veracity of that.
Yeah,
there's a couple,
and it is voracious.
Yeah, there's a couple of things on your IMDb trivia that we looked up, and I just want to run them by you now and just see.
This is a bone of contention.
We got one on your IMDb trivia.
Yep,
Ben Thurston. That's right, isn't it?
That is correct.
Yep. Okay. That's the first one's
it's
right.
It's not Benny Thurston.
Well, sometimes it's Benny.
Okay. IMDb trivia. This one relates to that we've just said. So the first one is a man called Ben.
There is a man called Ben.
No, that is what it just says about you, is a man called Ben, as in you are a man called Ben.
No, that's correct.
You confirm that
but that's my first name. I'm not Mr. Ben.
No, it doesn't say that. It's just saying...
Okay, no, that's fine.
In a loose sense.
Yeah, no, that's... People say that Ben is, and you turn your head. That is factually correct.
Okay. Owns a dog that isn't allowed upstairs.
No, that isn't true. I don't know where they've got that from.
My dog
goes upstairs.
It goes upstairs.
Yeah, it's not allowed downstairs, if that's perhaps what they've confused that with.
I was reading it earlier and I saw a particularly curious one that says friends with Chris Hemsworth. Because he initially mistook your surname as an O rather than a U, and he was because he was in the Thor movies.
Thorsten, right.
So, is that how you guys met and became friends?
We aren't friends. There was one slightly peculiar and embarrassing phone call at which that misunderstanding quickly became apparent.
Right,
And like, you know, he's a nice guy. And
we had run with it.
Oh, we had a chat and stuff. And once he realised that, he literally just clicked the phone down. And I rang him straight back, and the number from that day to this, it doesn't seem, there seems to be some fault on
already,
the line.
Already blocked.
Well, I don't know if that's the conclusion I jumped to.
How many times have you tried?
Not more than sort of 70.
Because I have the same number for him for the past 5 years, and it's still... Yeah, I'll call him now quickly.
No, what number is...
Just that one there. Is that the same one you've got for him?
That. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, well, I'll call it now. Certainly similar. H. Hemsworth. Oh, no, he's in the T, isn't he, for Thor? All right, I'll just ring him now.
Did it ring him?
Yeah. Do you want to talk to him, Andy?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Pass me the phone.
There's your phone, thank you. All
right, thanks. Still ringing.
Yeah, still ringing.
This is what happens when I'm...
You might be busy.
Well, usually it'll click off in a second.
Should I talk to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Cheers, okay. Thanks. Ah, still ringing. He's not have a voicemail.
I mean, how far would you put your mobile from your hand? This is what I never understand with Chris.
He might be in the shower.
Yeah.
You want to take your phone in the shower?
Well, mine can because it's waterproof, but...
Your shower?
Yeah.
Yeah, best way.
Chris? I think he's answered it in his pocket.
Why has he done that?
Well, I think it's an accident.
Maybe he just was in there.
Chris!
Can you still do that?
What?
Can you still accidentally answer a call? Touchscreen's, isn't it?
Well, I hope you touch
me
your leg.
Do you reckon he just had his hand in his pocket? Just touched it.
Do you not consider things touching your leg, touching them? Chris! Chris Hemsworth!
Is that a cat meowing?
Oh no, is his cat answered it? Yeah, you talk to him. Chris! Oh, go on, try again.
Chris!
Oh, he's gone for a different tactic.
Oh, let me try. Chris!
Oh, he's
hung up. Okay. Oh, well,
that's right. What I say, it's not. It doesn't work.
No, I think maybe you're right. Any other trivia that you saw on there? Is there anything that you have heard about yourself? Any rumours you want to put to bed, Ben, that you are aware of?
There was one there. It was a little story. I don't know if it was on IMDb. It certainly is on the internet. A little story where a girl I was supposed to have met and taken back to my house made some quite salacious...
It wasn't the girl you were saying.
It didn't. Like, none of what she said is true. And I will see anyone who says it is in court.
Okay. What did she say to you then that wasn't true?
She said a whole bunch of things about my house and things she saw in there and various equipment, shall we say, that she said that I had in my house and things I asked of her. And I just want to absolutely put to bed those rumours because none of that happened. She came to my house.
Mm-hmm.
I asked her if she would mind doing some ironing. She didn't want to. We went to bed, she was in the spare room, we woke up in the morning, she stayed another 3 or 4 weeks, and then that was that. So there really is no reason to believe any of the nonsense that she's put. But how would she know, you know?
How would she know?
How would she know the things that she said which aren't true? You know, she didn't... I mean, how would she know she did? She wouldn't. She didn't.
No. How would she?
Well, even if she did know, she'd know they weren't true.
And she wouldn't.
And so, you know.
And she didn't.
She wouldn't, she hasn't, she won't.
So you got one of your writers to do the ironing in the end?
In the end, it seemed easier. Rather than employ a girlfriend, employ a writer, and they can do a lot of the same things for about, you know, how much the girlfriend costs? I don't even...
20 grand.
Is that right?
Per annum, is that?
That'd be quite a good one, though.
You pro rata it, though, probably. I mean, you'd have to spend every day with them. So a bit less.
I think you do.
Yeah, and you
well, it depends. I mean,
2 hours a week.
You could do a sort of timeshare with it, could you, with someone with a mate or?
There's a word for that. It's called a
timeshare.
Timeshare.
Yeah, I think I said. Did I say timeshare?
Did
I mispronounce it?
Did you? I thought you said timshare.
I think I said timshare. Yeah. Sorry, this is how I do that in my head sometimes. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Not everything's about you, is it?
Well, no, my girlfriend's not because I share with someone else.
She's
so she's not
about you at all.
No, she's not. She's very rarely about me.
Yeah.
He says that he calls Tim Roth as well.
Does he?
It's embarrassing. Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Tim Warner.
Should we talk a bit about the creative process, how you worked with Mr. Tarantino? Did you call him Mr. Tarantino or did he let you call him
Quentin?
Q?
Quentin. No. Always Quentin.
Let me call him
Uncle
Q.
Quentin.
Q, yeah, I call him Q.
Do you? Like
QT.
In the James Bond films?
QT.
QT. On the QT. Dog, Q-tip.
You little QT. That's what I call him.
Cube.
So was Quentin involved in the writing process? Was he in the writer's room?
Because usually he writes his films.
He didn't especially enjoy the setup that we had with our writers. There were a couple of times.
Because you didn't pay him?
He will not And I don't want this to sound like a criticism, but if you've got Quentin Tarantino in a writer's room, everyone's chipping in ideas, and you ask Quentin, will you do the hoovering? Quentin is unlikely to get the Dyson out and run it around. He wants to stay in that room all the time. And frankly,
that sounds a little bit selfish.
Yeah, exactly. There's, you know, too many candles, not enough moths. You need sometimes everyone to take one for the team and do some dusting, do some hoovering.
Have you heard that phrase before, Andy?
Too many candles, not enough moths.
Candles need moths.
Yeah,
what you need
if you're going to have a nice candle. Spectacle as in the old days where you light a candle and then rather beautifully a moth flies into the flame.
When were the old days for you? Because for us it was about 1995, I think.
I would consider olden days pre-electricity.
And that's when you grew up?
No, we had electricity when I grew up.
But you
my
did,
father
so you
just chose
you've never been
not,
in the olden days.
My father chose not to avail himself of electricity.
Okay.
He believed that was a government scam. You know, that was very much how we spent my childhood. Other people were watching television. We were watching moths.
Do you think that's when your relationship first started to fracture with him, was when you started using electricity?
I can ring my father up anytime, day or night.
Tim, you can. So he's got electricity.
He's got a mobile phone.
He's got electricity now. It is interesting that a lot of...
I mean, I've got his number.
Call him. Give him a call.
You've got his number?
Call.
How have you got... I haven't... Why? A lot of the most rigorous hardships that my father insisted on when I was a child disappeared the day I moved out.
It's ringing.
What's your dad's first name?
It's Paul, isn't it? Oh, Pete. Sorry, I'll change that on my phone. Pete, okay.
He won't answer.
Do you want me to sort him?
Yeah, you talk to him, Andy. Yeah, you talk to him.
It's still ringing.
No, it's still ringing. His name's Pete, remember?
It's not. I thought it was Paul.
Pete.
Ah. Paul Thurston. No, Pete Thurston.
No, which one was it?
Pete.
Okay.
Oh, I think it's...
Pete with an A, though. I mean, it doesn't fit how you pronounce it, I suppose.
Pat.
Pate.
Pete.
Ta.
Peter. Like gangster. I got it.
Oh, he's answered.
Are you going to answer him? Are you going to speak to him?
Well, no, he's not saying anything. I think he's...
Oh, is
I
he? Is it in his pocket?
Pocket again.
Pete. Pate.
Paul. I know.
Peel.
Paula. It was Paul. Paul was with
Paul
an A.
With an A, yeah.
Paula.
Pete.
Oh, Pete, sorry.
With an A, though.
Yeah.
Which A and where is it?
After the E.
Peter.
Yeah, how many after the E?
Just one, Pete.
like a bog.
Exactly.
Okay.
Bog.
That's his middle name.
Oh no.
He used to say it with kids, Bog's my middle name.
Bog. Is he answering yet? You know what
he's
doing?
Very quietly spoken.
Oh, you think he's speaking and we just can't hear him?
Possible. Possible.
Bog.
Is that what you think happens when you call him?
No.
Do you want to talk to him?
I don't know.
No. No. Give it a go, see if he'll answer.
Dad?
Oh, he's hung up. He's hung up. That's not his name, you know. The dad with an A.
Dodd.
Oh, okay. So what do you mean about candles and moths?
I mean that if you've got Quentin Tarantino in a room, he tends to suck all the air out of that room. And that can
like
be like a candle or a vacuum cleaner. And that but can be uncomfortable for everybody else.
And who's a moth?
Who's the moth?
Yeah.
Just everybody else.
So there's two.
So
many,
I'm like a candle. I'm like a candle.
But there was loads of them, you said. There's eight.
And I said there's too many. I'm like a candle in that I have a glow about me. I think a lot of us film stars, it tends to be something film stars shy away from discussing. But we are...
Keanu Reeves is quite a candle.
Special.
Because he's current role.
We are special. We are... We are important, we are interesting, we gather people around us. And when you've got two candles, moths are simple creatures, as are writers, and they become confused. And I think that was the key.
They were confused.
They were confused.
That's
and
the
we
short answer.
Needed, yeah, if that's what you want, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were confused.
They were
confused. Because moths think that candles are the moon, and
yep.
They're confused. So
there can only be one moon.
Like Highlander.
Yeah.
Is there any one moon in that?
What was the film called?
The film?
Yeah, do you not remember, Andy?
The film is called Dry White Wine. called. Yeah.
And is that where does the wine play into the story?
Wine's got an H got in it. And the whining represents the father, the fictional father.
Yeah, him being
whining
about
how his son doesn't do anything. He's feckless. He's pursuing a career that's clearly pointless.
I thought it was because your character in the movie was a raging alcoholic.
Which we didn't even get to talk about. I would take issue with that characterization. Yeah, sure, he likes a drink. He might drink 4 or 5 cans of strong cider of an evening. But I don't think that. I think if that makes us an alcoholic, we're all alcoholics.
Wine, is it? So it's fine.
Exactly. Well,
and that's something your writers would have put into the script themselves.
They put that in. Yeah.
Yeah. That he was drinking a lot, but was in denial about his having an issue about it.
That's right. Mm. So I think you know who knows where those ideas come
from. Sure.
Because there's no. There was actually, interestingly, there were a lot of times when there was quite a lot of drinking in that writer's room.
Yeah.
None of them joined in, but it was.
Yeah. If it's around, then it just sort of all soaks into that idea ball, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly.
Very quickly, love interest was played by...
Pamela Anderson.
He was your sidekick, your sidekick. Chinese kid.
Yeah. Mm. It was him.
No, who was he? What was the actor?
That was Brad Pitt. Oh. You knew that?
I knew that he was in the film, but for the life of me, I couldn't find him in the trailer. So I thought that maybe he's not.
That's him.
That is him.
Yeah.
Okay. And are we happy with him, you know, playing a different race? Is he okay with that? Did he legally change his race on his passport so that he was allowed to do that?
No, all he did was just dress up for it. And we were a little bit worried. And then he did the voice that first time and everyone just decided, well, it's not funny, is it? It's respectful, I think. It's a very respectful accent, and we decided that, yeah, sure, there were going to be problems, sure, there was going to be some backlash from certain elements of the community, and we decided that we'd do it anyway.
Dry wipe, whitewashed.
Amen.
I think we can all agree on
that. Now, any of the obviously it's a Wings-based soundtrack entirely.
Yep.
Did you have to do any original songs? Did you have to do them in the Wings style? For the main theme.
Yeah, there was some of that.
Okay, interesting. So what was the main theme of the movie?
The main theme?
Musically, not the theme in terms of story.
Oh, okay.
Because we don't give a shit about that.
No, it's
irrelevant.
Money.
It's called...
It's dry cleaning.
Dry eyes, dry your cleaning.
Oh, good, okay. Do you have a cut of that? Or do you want to perform it live for us? Or
I mean, I can if you want.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah, dry your eyes, dry your cleaning.
Yeah.
Should I get... A guitar.
Yeah, please. Get the guitar, mate.
Oh, just while Andy's preparing the music for us, were there any pranks on set? What about, is Tarantino much of a prankster? Is he into that?
He's kind of a prankster. There was one day when he took one of the other writers around the back and broke his broke his nose.
Oh.
Broke his glasses as well, and called him an effing N-word. Yeah, mother effing
N-word.
But N-word with an A. It wasn't disrespectful.
No, it was in the cool rap way.
Yeah, exactly. There were no implications of slavery in the way he called him an N-word.
Well, not that's
the main thing. Just in the way that he paid him, I imagine.
Turns out there are rules about those things.
Yeah, well, as you found out, to your cost in your writer's room.
To my cost, yeah.
But less said about that, as I said.
I'm beginning to think next time what I might do is hire a whole bunch of cleaners, and it might be easier just to
get them to write it.
Get them to write the film when they, like, get them to clean, and then when I need a bit of film... Yeah, when I need a bit of film written, just get them into a room and get them to do it.
Yeah, and just tell them that they're just cleaning. It's like cleaning up the dirty
clean
mess
up this
of the
script. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dry clean it. I mean, you've obviously, just while we were chatting there,
yep.
Andy's just checked out the tab for it online for your...
dry your eyes, dry your clothes.
Dry your eyes, dry your clothes.
Ben's playing the whole thing.
Oh, Ben's playing it. Oh, sorry, Ben, you got the guitar there.
Yeah, cool.
All right.
It's quite high action.
Is it?
Yeah, well. It's quite a high action.
What does that mean?
The distance of the strings to the fretboard, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why are you telling me?
I'll do my best. And this bit has the rap going over it, but I don't do that bit.
Quentin does, of course.
Yeah.
And many uses of the N-word. A lot. But that's his, you know, Samuel L. Jackson said he's allowed to, apparently, so... yeah. I mean, I know it, but I won't do it because it's not, it's not fair. I'd have to self-edit too much.
These clothes are filthy. Can you do anything with them?
Really feel the Wings influence.
We can wash them for you. But not with water, though, because they're not supposed to get wet. That's right. We do them dry. Dry. That's right. No, I can't wash your eyes. Dry. Oh, hello again. You've come to pick up your clothes then, have you?
Yes, it's a suit jacket and...
Yes!
Yeah, and some
Just
slacks.
Give me the ticket. Don't okay. describe your clothes.
Sorry, yeah, that makes sense. Here it is.
Thank you. I'll just get them for you.
Thank you. I'll just wait here.
Have you been crying?
Yes, my father passed away.
Why?
Heart problems.
I'm sorry to hear that. Have you been drying?
No, that's your... I shouldn't need to dry them.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, I've dry cleaned your clothes. Yeah, would you like me to dry clean your eyes?
How does that work?
It wouldn't. That's the point of this song. You can't dry clean eyes. You have to just wipe them off.
Okay. Can I wipe them on your clothes?
You can, but I would then have to wash them again. And you can't call it dry cleaning. If you've used tears in the process, it's just chemicals and blowing and wiping and brushes and some other processes. You wouldn't understand how it works. There's a whole training process you go through when you buy a franchise. It's 4 days. Not anyone can pick this up. I'll have you know, you can treat me like this, but I've got dignity. This is a trade. It's the same as if I'd learned how to be a solicitor or a plumber, but not the same as plumbing, because plumbing's wet. It's one of the wet trades, but this is one of the dry trades. It's dry. I'm drying clothes. You're drying eyes.
Classic.
I'm drying clothes. You're drying eyes.
Here you go, mate.
I'm drying clothes. You're drying eyes. It takes you by surprise.
I'm drying.
Takes you by
clothes.
Surprise.
You're drying your eyes.
It takes you by surprise.
I'm drying clothes. You're drying eyes. Great. Thanks very much for that, Ben.
No, you're welcome.
Nice snappy song. That, I assume, takes up the entirety of the credits.
Yeah. Front and back.
Oh, so you just play half of it at the beginning of the film and then the second half at the end.
Yeah.
That's good. Is it quite a jarring cut?
Yeah. That's what I wanted. And that's what Tarantino wanted. Yeah. So that's what we
probably
as for.
Jarring as when we decided just to skip to the middle eight.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, I know how long the song is, and I think that if we do the whole thing, the listener would get bored.
And if there's one thing we don't want, it's the listener getting bored.
Oh, I don't think they'll do that.
No. I don't think they'll listen.
I don't think they dare.
I dare them to listen to this, is what I would put in any advertising. Yeah.
You know what? See if you can listen to this.
If you could give this movie, Dry White Wine, a star rating out of five.
Five normally, yeah.
Yeah.
Up to interpretation. But
the point is, you'll know better than anyone because you made the film. We have no idea. As film critics, we can't have ideas.
No.
Because we're
filmmakers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Out of five, should the listener go see it?
Five meaning yes.
Right. Well, I would say then four.
So what's that, how many letters of yes is that? Two? Yeah.
It's four of them. It's yes with two
with an exclamation mark. Or with an A, like your dad's name.
Yes.
You want to plug anything else? We also heard that your autobiography's out. Thirsty Work.
Thirsty Work.
Yeah.
Thirsty Work Part 2, the Coca-Cola years.
Stick around for listener questions. Thanks a lot, Ben.
You're very welcome. It's always something I do.
Bye.
Bye.
We're back.
That was a good interview.
I like the bit where he answered that question that you had, and then I asked one to follow up, and he also answered that.
He answered both of us. Listener questions. Do you want to grab the bag of letters and pick a thing?
Hang on. There we go.
What have you done there?
Popped a hernia.
I'll just get the bag. Okay, there's the
what did
that's
you
the bag.
Do?
I picked up the bag, mate.
Yeah, but that sounded painful.
That's a little fun. Okay. Russell. Pick up.
Crow.
Letter. Ah, I see what you did. You mentioned a film called
The
Crow.
You heard what I did. I didn't move the whole time.
Yeah. Okay.
You got a listener question?
Yeah.
Go on, then.
All right. Oh, I'll open it up with some paper. This is a question from Michael Stipe.
Ah.
And he's 30 today.
Ah.
Michael.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
To you.
And the rest.
Haven't
got the rights.
And he has a question for us, which is, hey, gentlemen. Oh, it's very polite. He says, hey, gentlemen, I'm a big fan of movies. And I wondered if you are critics because you like movies or you have any ambitions to be in movies. And he wants to know, what's he saying? Oh, he said, what was your last dream about? So I guess he's talking about dreams, ambitions. He wants to know what our dreams are about because he's in REM and that's dreaming.
I once dreamt.
Oh, here we go. Settle in, listeners.
That I.
No. And, that's Andy.
Yeah. Ran my own cinema.
You ran it.
Into the ground. But before that, I showed only one movie.
On a loop? Or just one screen and that, like one showing and that was it?
Neither.
Okay.
I showed it, stopped it for like maybe an hour. So people could have a break.
So not a continuous loop.
And then again.
You let them stop.
I played it many times.
What was the film?
Oh, the important piece of information. Yeah, the film that I showed was...
Was it real?
God, this is real. How could I show a film that's not real?
This is a dream, you fucking idiot.
Oh, I think you should have a little bit more faith in my mental subconscious ability than that, Tim. I was going to fucking...
I thought you might have dreamt up a movie that you wanted to make.
Why would I do that? There's already so many.
Yeah, there's too many.
Yeah.
I should stop. What was it?
Groundhog Day.
Oh, okay. That's clever.
Do
you see what your brain's done there?
No, I didn't.
Like
I don't even like the film.
Have you seen it?
No.
You just don't like the idea of a groundhog. It's this whole day about a little piece of pig shit.
Do you know what would have been worse than Groundhog Day? Groundhog Week.
Would it have been worse?
Yeah, because then that's a whole week of groundhogs.
That's seven more. That's six more.
One's bad enough.
And then you get every day of it.
Oh, every day the groundhog wakes up. Look, I'm going to learn how to play piano. And he does.
It's ice cold.
He does.
Imagine a groundhog trying to get Andy McDowell to fall in love with him.
What one movie would you...
It would take fucking forever.
I know, because she doesn't fancy groundhogs.
No, she's human, Andy. Remember? Yeah. From the film.
What would you show in your dream theatre?
That's not the question.
If you could only show one. It's my question. I listen to this. Someone's got to.
Okay. What if I could only
play one?
Is this if I had a dream about it? What do I think my mind would have done? Or if I had a theatre that could only play one film?
It's a two-part question.
Which bit?
First.
Yep.
What film would you show in a cinema if you could only show one?
Why?
Constantly.
Oh. The scene from Taxi Driver where Jodie Foster is a prostitute. Just watch that on a loop, probably. Just forever.
Pourquoi?
Because there's a guy who tried to kill someone, did that. The cops found his place and he had done that.
Right.
And I want to go and work out if it's just because of the film he did it or because he just was already a bad man. A
background check on you before the next episode, Tim.
I think he tried to kill Ronald Reagan.
Did you?
I think he shot Ronald Reagan, missed him, hit the car, bounced off, hit his bodyguard.
Oh, poor car.
Because the car was bulletproof.
And scene.
Taxi Driver. And what was the second part of the question?
The second part was if you were a dream and your subconscious made it
if
up,
I was a dream.
Shut the fuck up.
Yep.
If you had a dream and your mind decided to play only one movie, what would it be?
What do I think my subconscious mind would force me to watch all the time?
Yeah.
Probably...
sex tape you found in your mum and dad's bedroom.
Central Intelligence.
That's
because I didn't understand that film.
Yeah. What didn't you understand about it?
Which one's which?
Which one was your mum? Which one was your dad?
That's Central Intelligence, the film.
Oh.
I didn't understand which one was which.
Which one was Central? Which one was Intelligence?
No, which one was the big cock and which one was the
Little Johnson.
The organ?
Oh.
It takes a big Johnson and a little cock. I've watched that because one of them's massive.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for with listener questions.
Just one question from Michael Stipe.
Twatted about for a bit. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code Program.